Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the mega city metropolis of New York. Daft J is in the zone, singing along with Alicia. So based on the little medley we had at the beginning or the top of the show, this episode will be coming to you live from New York City. We made another pilgrimage to our home away from home. We usually record out of the mega city metropolis of Toronto, but at the end of the year, we had circumstances that allowed us to be able to visit our favorite city outside of Toronto. Well, Daft J's favorite city.
That's right.
So we were able to visit New York as the year closes in.
As kind of become a tradition of ours a little bit.
That's right. We have we went to New York once this year.
That's right.
For Mocha Fest.
That's right.
So we usually do our 1 year pilgrimage, but this time we got to go twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not record while we're there and document some of the happenings and things that we did while we visited NYC this time to close out the year of 2018. So Daft J, we went on a very spontaneous adventure. Our co-founder of the show, Kobe the Dog, had a place to be able to stay while we got a chance to visit NYC. And we did a couple things that we haven't done before. Visited some spots that we haven't visited before.
Ate at some places that we...
Some legendary places, yeah, that we haven't eaten before. So let's document our trip as it has come to an end now. And we've got some awesome things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty epic, I gotta say. Considering how last minute it was.
Yeah.
Considering that
we booked and went on this trip, what, in like less than a week?
Yeah, literally.
Pretty much like that, right?
Yeah. Are the headphones new? We're both wearing the headphones. We were hearing it through the monitor. Is it throwing you off the echo?
It's fine.
You're good?
Yeah, I think. It just sounds like the voices in my head again.
Right on. Okay, so we booked this trip very, very spontaneously. It wasn't planned at all. And within an hour of me asking you, hey, this and this came up. Do you think you want to go to New York? I know we're not planning on it, but do you want to do it? And within an hour and a half, it was done.
Mm-hmm.
What were your initial thoughts about that happening?
Well, I mean... At first, I'm like, oh, that's adorable. He wants to go somewhere. And I'm like, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's a nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave it some thought, and I'm like, F it. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm young. I got the spunk. You know what I mean? Like, there's no better time than the present. So I said, sure. And then... But with the intent of like, okay, we'll get together tonight and
after work
and we'll like, you know, figure it out.
Crunch the numbers.
And all I knew is I looked down to my phone like, what, an hour later? Not even. Saying, done. What?
Pack your bags.
What are you talking about? Right. What do you mean done? What are we doing? And you're like, it's done. We're heading over. And I'm like, heh? So it was a bit of a spontaneous shock to the system. But I think had we not done it that way, I don't think I would have gone through with it.
It's true.
Sometimes because I think when you give something too much time, you talk yourself out of it.
Right.
And I think this was one of those moments where I think I was happy that we didn't think it over. Mm-hmm. We just went with it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
For me, like, I thought it was a ridiculous idea to even ponder it. But when I start looking at the hotels and seeing what's available. And of course, New York City is like any other major city. You see these ridiculous prices, like, oh, come on. But then I found one that was reasonable.
Any price in New York is ridiculous to me. Because as people know, I have had family there for years. So having to pay for accommodations,
mm-hmm,
in a place where I feel like this is home.
I shouldn't have to.
I don't pay for a room to just leave it. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like such a waste of money and resources, but, but it was, yeah, you found a place and it was great.
You know, we've been to New York a bunch of times and we've recorded there a bunch of times for funsies, and this location appealed to me because it was kind of like, it felt like a middle ground to everything that we've liked. There's been times we stayed close to the Brooklyn Bridge, sometimes we stayed right by Grand Central Station, Times Square, which of course is like a...
like one block from Times Square.
Yeah, it's like a tourist hub, right? Mm-hmm. But this time it was like in between all of those things, close to the Flatiron Building. And it just seemed like everything was walking distance away, which is what is...
The thing is with us, though, when we go to New York, everything is walking distance.
Right, right.
Weather permitting.
Of course.
It's a little ridiculous. We go a little overboard.
Well, not really, because, I mean, it's the best way to see the city,
right? It definitely is, but, you know, we... walk.
Like, we got in our 10,000 steps and then some.
My body hurts the next day. I feel like I went to the gym.
Right.
That's the kind of workout we put in when we come to the city.
So for those who are listening to this episode, for the, like, this is your first Cave of Solitude episode that you're tuning into, when you go to New York City, a couple of things I would recommend is, one, find cool places to eat, because there's plenty of them to choose from.
Although, if you're looking for a wing place, not readily available.
Which we learned on the last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that. I wouldn't think that chicken wings are a hard thing to find in New York City, right, of all places.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which is probably the first most important thing to plan for when you're going to New York City, is have a good pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because we've learned our lesson the hard way that when you go with just your regular, quote-unquote, comfy shoes that you wear day-to-day... going to the supermarket or going, you know, to the mall for a couple of hours, it's not going to cut it.
Mm-mm.
So get yourself a good comfy pair of shoes, and if you can do it, walk the city, because you're going to accidentally run into really cool things.
Things, people, stuff.
Shops, anything. Restaurants, right? All kinds of stuff. Spots where they shot famous movie scenes, like, oh, we're here. Like, right. It just kind of creeps up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you can plan for that, which is worth your while to save yourself time. But part of the charm is every spot is kind of significant in a way. It's been in a television show. It's been in a movie. It's been, you know, the subject of a song. So that's part of the fun, is just walking and discovering it. So one of the things that we definitely had to do that we didn't do the last time that we went was go to a famous, a movie famous, television famous, world famous delicatessen found on East, how do you say it?
Houston.
Houston Street. Not Houston Street. Houston Street. Houston Street.
Houston.
Houston. East Houston Street. And was it 2nd Avenue?
I
think it was 2nd Avenue. Yeah. Katz's.
Yeah, because we pretty much started at 1.
Right. Right. Katz's Delicatessen, which is famous for the scene in When Harry Met Sally, where she has her fake orgasm scene with Billy Crystal, and everybody in the restaurant sees and says, well, I'll have what she's having. So we went there, which is, you know, it's a landmark spot, and we were expecting it to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lineup outside the block.
Yeah.
To get in.
Yeah.
When you see that going to any place to eat, does that make you say, forget it? Does that discourage you, or does that make you say, okay, this is the spot to eat. I'm going to get what everyone else is waiting for, I'm going to wait for it.
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It's a little overwhelming for me. And I think it also depends the time of season.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're waiting out in the rain, or if it's like minus crazy, you know, wind chill alert.
Right, right, like, right.
No, I'm not doing this. I'm not stupid. Right?
But like, we just got on a plane and walked all the way there. We're not stupid.
But like, if it's like summer or spring or like a nice breezy, fresh fall, okay, fine, maybe. It depends. It completely depends in the and how hungry you are. You know what I mean? I think it definitely depends on how you're feeling in the moment and what you're willing to tolerate.
Right, right, right.
And be patient for. And when we first got there, I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Like, how good is this thing for me to have to wait for this? That being said, we lined up because we said, well, we're here.
We made it all this way. We were really hungry.
And we were hungry.
Really hungry.
And then I think it was about an entire block almost.
Almost.
The lineup was. And that was outside of the restaurant. Yeah. That wasn't even inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but to my surprise, and which is kind of, it's kind of like this, I feel like, in New York City. Anywhere there's a lineup, it's going to go quick.
Yes.
Like, you can pretty much guarantee that it's they got a pretty good system going. Yeah. So I think we were outside on this block lineup. Maybe about 15 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
It seemed like it would be more than that.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time we got in, it was just mad chaos. Like, I was like, oh, damn it.
Right.
It was like, I don't know, a cockroach convention. Like, everybody was on top of everything, like different. Yeah, you would know better to explain what you went through. We kind of had to split off and tag team. There was like a waiting, like where they'll wait on you
right.
kind of place. Or it's just kind of like you sit anywhere and you serve yourself kind of thing. So what we did, we kind of like tag teamed. I hustled for a table and you went ahead and got the food. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty hectic. And the thing is, we came on Christmas Day.
That's right.
So everything was closed. That's
probably why it was also extra busy.
True. It's the season, but it's also like, you know, it is also a hot spot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it not always being that busy from what I saw.
Right.
And anyway, yeah, that's what we did. And then we eventually ate.
Yeah. Well, here's how, like, the reason why I like going over these trips that we have is because whether you're going to New York, whether you're going to a Comic Con, whether you're going to, you know, Europe like we did, there's things that when you're informed of how things work, you know what to expect, you can plan for it better, and know what the norms are if it's going to be worth your while, right? Sometimes hearing, not just reading a review, like I read a review of some places to go eat or go shop, they're like, yeah, the place is all right, but I'm giving it a 1-star because they didn't have any places for me to charge my phone. Like, ridiculous reviews. You're not really hearing the full-on experience. So going there, granted, it was Christmas Day, so I there's a lot of people getting out of cabs who you can see, like, so this is the place? Oh, we got to try it now. Look, like, you knew people were coming that were tourists like us. So when you get in, like you said, it's madness. They give you these tickets, kind of like, for people who are from Toronto, when you go to the
Marché?
What's it called, the Marché?
There's the round tree? I don't know. Something about a tree. Rich tree.
Rich tree. That's it. So they give you that ticket, that bill ticket, where you get it stamped, where whatever you're picking from the different stations, they stamp it, mark it for you. When you leave, you pay for it. So they give you a smaller version of that here that you cannot lose. If you lose this ticket, you're automatically paying $50 American because they just assume that you're stealing food.
Mm.
That's the penalty. So you cannot lose this ticket. It is worth $50. So you got to keep that close in your pocket, make sure you know where it is. So then you can either have a table where you're served and you go on a separate line to wait for a table where you'll be waited on, or you can just grab...
Well, someone does the hustle for you.
Yes.
That's right. Or you go in hard in the paint and you line up in front of a butcher because there's a bunch of them.
There's nine stations.
Cutters. Nine cutters.
Yeah,
like
if
that.
I'm not mistaken. 7 to 9. I don't remember exactly. I think I went to cutter 4.
Really, and you ended up at 7?
Yeah, like, and there's no, like, direct line. It's kind of get in where you fit in. Daff J found a table, and it's one of those places where you're not going to find your own table.
No.
You're sharing a table with other people.
Yeah.
It's close dining.
Yeah.
But it is worth it. So you...
And it feels like you're in a cafeteria.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
The tables are, like, you know, it was nothing fancy.
Nothing, no frills.
No.
No frills about it.
No.
But it's got this reputation of being, you know, the best deli sandwiches in, if it's the best in New York, you would imagine it's going to be
fine dining, great service, and all that, you know, fancy stuff.
Right, right.
Nope.
Well, and that's part of its charm.
Right.
Right? So you, Daff J found the table. I lined up to cutter four, and you're waiting in this line, trying to muscle your way through to get at the front of the line. And what's cool about it, so for those wondering, it's a Jewish deli. It's going to be, you know, pastrami, corned beef, brisket sandwiches. And while they're cutting the food for you, they put on a plate all of the, like, sample pieces of the what you're getting to see if you like it. So you're already getting, like, a nice little sampler. I asked the guy, just out of curiosity, because I wanted us to get two different sandwiches, split them, and then try more. So I'm like, is it worth trying the corned beef? He's like, here, I'll let you try it. He gave me chunks of corned beef. He gave me a whole bunch of slices of the brisket as well as the pastrami. I ended up getting two pastrami sandwiches because they were that good. And then you get a knish. I got a knish instead of French fries. And along with the sandwiches, they give you like a, you don't order this separate, it just comes with it. It was like a plate full of pickles to go with. And you got to get it with mustard. Rye bread, preferably, is the classic way. And this is your traditional classic Katz's delicatessen sandwich. So we got that, brought it back to the table finally. Daff J was impressed with, oh, as well as the New York cream egg, they call it, which is a...
Think of a fuzzy chocolate milkshake.
Yes. So it's
and fuzzy, I don't mean mold. I mean like a fuzz drink, like a soda.
Yeah, it's like chocolate soda basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not quite a milkshake, but it's kind of like a milkshake. Mm-hmm. I think
it's like a float.
I guess that's what a malt is. I've always heard like malt shops. I think of milkshakes, but I guess that's what a malt is, where they put the chocolate syrup with a little bit of cream, whipped cream, and then seltzer water. Mm. And at first, it's like, whoa, what is this supposed to be?
Right.
But it goes with the sandwich. It's like,
why is there chocolate bubbling?
Right.
It was like chocolate Pop Rocks in your mouth.
Yeah. What would you, after eating the meal, having it, the experience, being in this bustling, busy place, what was the experience like for you? Was it worth it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it was. It was a pretty great sandwich. Yeah. We got a pretty good deli close to our home here in Toronto, which I maybe is the reason why I was looking forward to the sandwich. In the moment, right now, I can't say, oh, this one's definitely better than this one, but it was worth the wait.
Definitely.
Yeah. What was my favorite part, and you pointed it out to me, was we had this Hispanic family sitting next to us, right beside Daff J. And they had gotten, I think, three different types of sandwiches that they were all sharing and sampling. And you were paying closer attention because you could catch what she was saying. But the older Spanish lady was just singing its praises of every single bite she took. What was she saying?
She was like the Latina. the Latina, what's it called? What's her name again? Meg Ryan. Like, she was just like all over it. She was a fan. She was a fan.
Well, okay, give her some of the quotations. Her quote, even in Spanish. Do it in Spanish. What was she saying?
Oh, man. Everything. She was like, este sandwich delicioso. what else was she was saying? She was saying, vale la esperada. Like, it was so worth the wait. I would come back. I love this. Like, she was just, every bite was like she was coming. I couldn't believe it. And her hand gestures, and she was like throwing her head back, and the eyes were rolling. And I'm like, lady, oh my God. And like, she took turns with all different sandwiches. Like, it was like, all, like, she had halvesies of everybody. And she was a small little thing, but loving it. Just fully taking in the experience. And I couldn't help but just enjoy her enjoyment. And then when she was done, like, she wiped her little mouth with the tissue. She's like,
all she needed to do was light a cigarette.
Honestly, like, she was just, she got her money's worth that day.
Yeah.
She was so happy.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
So I don't remember, that first day is a bit of a blur. It was busy. We did a lot because you fly in, you get your hotel, you start walking through the city. It is Christmas Day, so not everything is open. What else did we do that day after Katz's? We walked back up, right?
We walked back up. We went to, oh.
You got your journal, your travel log.
My travel journal. What did we do that day? Okay, that's Florence. That's we ended up, obviously we had to walk off the sandwiches. We went down Broadway. We went to the New York Library. We passed through that. And at that time, they were having skating at Bryant Park. Oh, and they had the market there.
That's right.
And so we kind of just hung out there for a while, and we saw the lady.
Oh, yes, your girlfriend, the Empire State. not the Statue of Liberty. No. Daphne refers to the Empire State as her girlfriend.
She's a lady. She's a classy lady. One of the classiest ladies in New York City. So we kind of hung around there, and then we went to Times Square.
That's right.
And then, because we had such an early start to our day, from the moment we left our house to, you know, we took the train. We took a shuttle from the airport to the train station.
Jefferson Heights, right? Yeah. Was the train station.
We went to that. It took us about...
Didn't feel like an hour.
It didn't even feel like an hour. We were already at our hotel. 40 minutes. Yeah.
From the airport.
From LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And then we kind of chillaxed for a little bit, and then we started our day.
That's right.
So
that's
right. By the time the evening hit, the sun had gone down. We thought, you know what? We want to sit.
Yeah.
And again, it was New Year, and it was new. It was Christmas, so not much was available, but it's still a happening town.
Especially Times Square, there's some stuff still going on.
Oh yeah, they had some things available, and what we decided to do was just watch a movie.
Watch a movie Christmas Day in New York. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So what impressed me, I mean, I know this, but you don't sometimes realize it until you're at the theater, how many interesting and worthwhile movies there are to be watching right now. Like, as far as blockbusters are concerned, as far as, you know, highly anticipated things with good actors, good directors. So, like, I'm looking at the marquee, and I'm like, ooh, I haven't seen Creed 2 yet. You haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse, which is a really great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman has been out, which we reviewed on the show, but, you know, that's another one. Bumblebee. What else was there? Mary Poppins had come out.
Right.
There were so many things. And one of the ones that we both had wanted to see, which intrigued us, was, I forget the whole title.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah. It's the one with Steve Carell.
It's the movie that we ended up seeing spontaneously was
Welcome to Marwen. Yeah. Right. I knew there was a thing before. I was going to just say Marwen, but Welcome to Marwen, which is directed by Robert Zemeckis, which, of course, I have a weakness for, because he's the guy who directed Forrest Gump, Roger Rabbit, and most importantly, Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So I was up for seeing that. And as well, it kind of made it easy, because all the stuff that we wanted to see within that hour was already sold out.
Right.
So we settled on Welcome to Marwen. What'd you think?
I thought it would... I liked it. Overall, I think I liked it. I was expecting a little bit more comedy.
Mm. Okay.
I didn't think it would be so serious in certain... I mean, I knew it had obviously some aspect to it. It was based on true events, true story or true person. But I was kind of thinking it was not slapstick, but I thought I was going to be laughing out loud more.
Oh, really?
I did. I thought
okay.
so.
Okay.
Especially because it had that kind of like animation come to life doll aspect. I don't know. Right. I don't know what I was expecting. I thought I was going to be laughing more.
Okay.
But I didn't. But that was okay. I liked the story overall.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the music. Like I'm now more attentive to who composed it, and especially when certain directors have been known to have strong soundtracks associated with them, like Steven Spielberg. You think of, you know, John Williams always being associated with Steven Spielberg. And then also Robert Zemeckis has often had Alan Silvestri. So you're expecting the music to be almost like a character in the movie, and I felt that it was. I think what threw me about it was I wasn't... I guess prepared for the way the story would be told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like you started right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was going to be more of a journey from the person's life, seeing what happens, a little bit more linear. But this was very much like things happened in this person's life. Here's where we're at. Catch up.
Right.
And that kind of threw me off. But then when I realized what was happening, I just went along with it. I didn't mind at all the back and forth of the narrative being told through the perspective of the dolls kind of being like...
No, I think that was the fun part, actually.
That was the fun part.
That was the part that actually kept me intrigued. Mm-hmm. The real part of it mm-hmm. was just as... It was interesting.
Yeah.
What the doll part kind of kept me in it.
Yeah, that was the part that made it, I think, creative. Mm. The creative aspect of it. It didn't really get... I looked up after the fact. It didn't get well received. I thought this movie was going to be a shoo-in for, like, good reviews. Surprisingly, it didn't. Does that affect you? Do you find you enjoy going to the movies more, not having any preconceived review or expectation of the movie being good or bad? Do you like going in without any sort of review already swaying you? Or do you like knowing nowadays? Because you can't avoid it in a lot of ways, where now Rotten Tomatoes is the new two thumbs up. Where if a movie's worthwhile, they'll put it in the trailer or they'll put it in the ad, like certified fresh.
I think I like to form my own opinion. Mm-hmm. But you're right, it's hard to avoid what most things suggest, that, you know, it does affect how you approach certain things. Mm-hmm. So that's why I only watch trailers once.
Right.
That's why if they're like, if on commercial, it'll be like 4 stars or 2 thumbs up or raving reviews, like, well, okay, that's all right. But at the end of the day, I think I still like to kind of give it my own. Because I think too, like, not everybody has the same preferences, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like to go and figure it out on my own.
Because I think too, like, if I would have looked up before we walked in to pick a movie, I'm like, okay, let me see which one's on Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, like what they're all saying. I probably would have been like, okay, we're not watching Marwin because mm-hmm. it's not well received on Rotten Tomatoes, or, you know, the consensus isn't what I want it to be.
Right.
And I wouldn't have watched it, but I'm happy I did. It's almost like we recently watched Collateral Beauty that has like a star-studded cast. I watched it on Netflix at home. Didn't look up any reviews for it because I figured I'm not paying for this, so I'm just going to watch it. I enjoyed it. I didn't mind it. But then I looked it up after the fact, and it was just like poo-pooed in the mm-hmm. reviews. Like, it was just, it's a hack movie. It's all these actors that, you know, not even the actors could save this sloppy script. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if I would have bothered watching this and taking from it for myself if I had read this before. It's just, I always think about that going in. But,
well, that's the same thing as like reading reviews in like restaurants and stuff, right? Like, if mm-hmm. you would have, you know, read a review and they're like, yeah, Cats is the long lineup and all the self-service and it's a mess, it's a disaster, you know, you get lost in the line, like, you would probably talk yourself out of doing something that you know you'd probably want to experience yourself, right? Like, you wouldn't be able to say, yeah, the same, besides all of that, the food's actually really good. Like, you wouldn't be able to give your own opinion on that if you're kind of going by what other people have to say about it. And I think that's the type of world we live in, right? We're all dependent on what someone else is saying or what they're thinking. And at the end of the day, let me do me.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And if at the end of the day I have to, I at least can still walk away having learned something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what? Yeah, maybe this thing is talked about too much. Or maybe it's too, what is it when they talk about it too much?
Criticized, reviewed, revered,
mm-hmm.
celebrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, I did it once. I don't have to do it again.
Right.
Like, at least I can form my own idea about it.
Would you go to Cats again?
I would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would necessarily do the big wait and the fighting through people. But that, again, I know we went on a very popular day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably go back knowing that maybe if I went in April or if I went in the middle of the summer or whatever, or even fall,
mm-hmm.
where it's not as heavily like touristy, it may not be as bad, right? That's just the other thing. Everyone's experience is different, right? Somebody would have gone where it was like not as busy.
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably say, oh, it's fantastic. And the lineup's not so bad. And da, 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 da. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has a different thing to say about the same thing.
Right.
At different times. And it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be the same for you.
Right, right. So moving on to day two, everything opens up. It's Canadian Boxing Day, but over there they got nothing like that. It's just.
Well, they had 26. Black Friday a month ago.
They had, yeah, but we got now we have Black Friday and Boxing Day, and over there it's not like it's just things open up again, and New York is bustling because everybody's there for Christmas time. Mm. So now that everything's open, we're able to walk and actually go to
anywhere we want.
So we went for again another traditional Jewish meal. Right around the corner of our hotel was a very well reviewed, and it was deserving, bagel shop, the Brooklyn
Bagel and Coffee Company.
Brooklyn and Bagel Coffee Company. That's right. We got our, you know, bagels every day here from McDonald's and Tim Hortons. And, of course, in many areas in the city, you'll get good Jewish bakeries where they make bagels. But this is, like, New York authentic. How was the bagel?
The size of your head. That's what it was. Oh, my God. I could just jump to the end. They were huge.
They were big.
They were massive. Big.
when I and they weren't, you know what was cool about it? I mean, it was a meal that you start your day off with, and it held us through.
It really did.
It held us through. I forgot even what we ate later on. Oh, yes, I remember now because we had reservations. But from, I think it was 10 in the morning until 6:45, 7 o'clock at night, we were good
with this
bagel.
Yeah.
Maybe other people wouldn't be. Mm. Right? I know I had a snack later on in the middle of the day, so I kind of...
What did you have?
I had a Joe's Pizza.
Slice.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we wanted a traditional classic Jewish bagel with the, you know, the lox and the onions in it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, you went through a little piece of tomato in there.
Threw some tomato in there.
Because Eric feels every bagel deserves a little vegetable. I don't know where that theory came from, but it was delicious.
If you have a sandwich, you got to have something, right? Unless it's like a pastrami sandwich, you just got slabs of meat. That's it.
That's all.
So, and the coffee was actually really good.
It was, and right? I'm not a coffee drinker.
So this was on 8th Avenue and 25th Street, I'm going to say.
Something like that.
So if you ever visit New York, you're going there for New York Comic Con or some sort of other event, 25th and 8th Street, the Brooklyn Bagel and Coffee Shop, really good place. Mm. And they have different, not just bagels, but they got other stuff there, sandwiches, Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, all these different options that you can make with bagels or not with bagels. It was really good. I was tempted to go there every day for breakfast. That's how tasty it was.
Yeah.
And it holds you over, and it wasn't that expensive for New York breakfast.
And then Eric learned that we didn't have to have the big, huge bagels. They have mini bagels. Even their mini bagels are, like, bigger than our regular bagels.
That's
here.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
That's how...
As big as your head.
No, they really were.
No, it was filling. It was filling.
Yeah.
And then from there, we began our trek again, just walking through the city.
Mm-hmm.
We were also on the hunt for some street art this trip. That was one of our focuses, because I know how much you enjoy street art, and I enjoy, of course, the hip-hop history of graffiti and things like that. So did we go anywhere on this particular day, or did we just stumble on some street art?
The first street art that we stumbled upon was one of Albert Einstein.
Oh, that's right. Right? That's right.
So if you're interested in looking at any of the street art that we stumbled upon, if you follow my photography page at Hazel's Eye.
Hazel_I.
This one is a mural of Einstein with his tongue sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically him kind of like doing the We Love New York with the square thing. And it's a mural done by, what was his name again? At Cobra Street Art.
That's right.
Cobra with a K.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a couple of, he's a Brazilian street artist. Or graffiti artist from Brazil, I believe. And he's done a couple through New York City. He did the Michael Jackson mural as well that we also ended up finding at 11th Street and First Avenue.
That's right.
But yeah, like that was the other thing. Like, yeah, we were on the hunt for some of the stuff. But like to kind of just... That's the beauty of walking the city, right? Because you just end up finding these things and you didn't even kind of plan for it. Mm-hmm. And it was just, like, right there.
Right.
So that was the first one that we ended up kind of just accidentally finding. And then from there, we went to the Flatiron Building, which I think was kind of, like, our stationary, like, our meeting point for some reason. Like
yeah,
we just kept showing up there.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter which direction we went, we always ended up at the building, mm-hmm. Which is very picturesque, architecturally beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, the light hits it at different times of day, that building looks amazing.
And I think when you stand in that spot, you see the Flatiron Building, and when you turn around, you see the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, mm-hmm. when you turn around. So it's like such an interesting spot to get two nice picturesque portraits of the city.
Yeah.
And the way the light comes in into that square, and there's obviously a lot of, there's a little park there. So it's a great little spot to get your tourist photography on. Mm. And it never gets old. There's something about it that's just always like, we stop, we take a look at it.
But that's New York City, right? Right. You hit the corner of anything and you're like, I can be here all day.
Yeah.
And then come back and say the same thing again.
Yeah.
It doesn't get old.
And it looks different with different weather and with the lighting coming in, the way the shadow hits the buildings, you can always get some sort of different characteristic of those spots mm-hmm. throughout the city, mm-hmm. which is I don't know. I guess it's part of the charm, right?
Right.
And that was the day that we went down to Forbidden Planet, mm-hmm. our first comic book shop stop. Mm-hmm. That's on 12th and Broadway, right next door to Strand Bookstore, which we went to last time, and it took us, I don't know how we couldn't find it. The last time we were in New York, we walked back and forth. We went from one side of the city to the other.
We went from the river to I don't know where we went.
But this time we found it like, we couldn't escape it.
It was all that walking last time.
Yeah.
There was no way we can get lost because we knew all four corners of this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know that I always have to go into any comic book shop I see. You almost sometimes see a comic book shop coming up and you're like, all right, we're just going in. I'll take you. For these particular ones in the city, even bookstores, because you know I love to frequent a bookstore, a used bookstore, what is it that appeals to you from the wife of somebody who will go into any comic book shop? Because you've got to put up with me like doing my little hunting.
So what do I like about comic shops?
What are the things that will make you tolerate them?
The organization.
So what did you think?
And
of
lighting.
Mm.
And it can't be musty. It can't smell musty.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's mostly because I don't like clutter. I don't like feeling trapped. I don't like feeling like anything's going to fall on top of me.
Right, right.
I don't want to touch anything that looks like it's been sitting there growing mold. it's very important to me, mm-hmm. the whole like aesthetics of it.
Mm-hmm.
That probably sounds bougie to say, but I do like things looking nice.
It does make a difference in, even for somebody like myself who's gone to every different type of comic book shop, the ones that are in basements, the ones that are in abandoned houses, like, when you do go into one that is well organized, well lit, doesn't smell musty, it does give you a certain sense of comfort, I guess, especially when I can take you there and be like, okay, there might even be a bathroom here that if she needs to use it, like, it's not an uncomfortable setting.
Right.
What did you find about that one? Because it's a really well-known one, I think, in the comic books community. Forbidden Planet is kind of well-known. And a lot of comic book writers and people that go on to bigger things in the business started out there as salesmen. Mm. So if you were to visit New York, would that be a spot that you would go to look for something for me? Or would you prefer something else?
No, I'd start there.
Yeah, you like it? Mm. What stood out for you in that place?
It looked like it would be easy to find stuff, actually.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah, it's true. It is very well organized. And it is...
Also, they had this monitor mm-hmm. with, like, a map of the store itself. And it had, like, comic book characters in each section. Like, the Wonder Woman, like, this is where you'll find Wonder Woman stuff. Then you find a picture of, the Superman symbol mm-hmm. or Image Comics or whatever, like, You know what I mean?
They had a monitor?
They had a little TV monitor.
I didn't at the even front. See that. Yeah. I didn't even see
and
that.
And it was like, you are here, but if you want these types of books or these type of graphic novels or t-shirts, like, it's here, it's there, it's there. Yeah, I took a picture of it.
Awesome. Yeah. I didn't even see that. That's great. Cool. So I like that shop a lot. For me, I can't... I like looking for the bargain of buying these books in a shop just because the currency exchange oftentimes doesn't make it worth it for us to buy goods in the United States for the most part. So I was able to find a couple things there, Epic Collections that I really enjoy, Captain America Epic Collections for a really, really good price in their like bargain section. And they were still brand new, nothing wrong with them. So that was a cool find. And then we went to Strand Bookstore right next door, which do you prefer bookstores like the BMVs and used bookstores?
I like the charm of those bookstores, but I don't like them.
Okay, how overall. Come? Okay, how come?
Just because too big? They're overwhelming. There's too much happening. Everything. It's like, where do you even begin? It seems cluttered. It seems like things have been there for a while. You know what I mean? Like,
Strand is not too bad.
No, it's not. But it not. Has that it's a little not, bit. But it has it, right? But it has been there since, what, 1827? Like, whatever they promote. Like, I don't know.
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, no, they've been there a minute. So, like, it basically, how do I say it? Like, it's promoting it's how long it's been there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's been a minute. So... it's charming, but it's not exactly somewhere. It's like that's where I'd go to someone and be like, I need this book. Find it for me.
Right.
I'm not going to sift through it. Okay, I lied a little bit. 1927.
Still a long time.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But like that's the type of place where I'm not going to start searching.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you to find it for me. And if it's not here, I'm bouncing. Like I can't. And because too, it's like it's so well established.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everybody knows about it.
Right.
And so... everybody's in there. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, and you will... like, the one thing I was really excited about was in a store like Strand, which is a bookstore, but their comic book section is its own almost comic book shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find some hard-to-find things there, even though this is, like... it's almost like the same experience you have at a BMV in Toronto. But this is... you'll find out-of-print books... that are very reasonably priced a lot of the time.
And that's just graphic novels. Like, on their top floor, they have, like, rare books. Yeah, yeah. Like, they have the freaking Torah up there. Like
the original one.
The original. Like, they have it in scrolls. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff is really up there. They had a Bible. Like, I swear, the Pope must have kissed it or something. Like, they have everything up there.
And it puts the omnibuses to shame.
They have books behind glass because it's so rare and the pages first editions or whatever, right? So they have some pretty cool stuff. And in the basement, they got like records and they got like other... they got everything
they
in there.
They got everything.
Everything. Yeah. Which that's what I'm saying. That's what I like about it. But that's also the thing that makes me nervous.
Right.
Because I wouldn't know what to do, where to go.
Right.
Right.
Well, I was able to find you. The one thing that I was hoping to find while visiting New York this trip was the Ho Che Anderson graphic autobiography of Martin Luther King. And it's out of print. It's, you know, really expensive if you want to buy it on Amazon. And I was able to find the special edition there, autographed, even though it was autographed to John. We found an autographed copy of it. For a really good price.
Yeah.
Less than cover price. And I almost ordered it for you from the website. And it was going to cost, I think, like $50 just for shipping and handling. So to be able to find it there was a real thrill. I'm happy we got it. It made the visit to the store well worth it.
Would you ever do that?
What's that? Pay $50 for shipping and handling?
Get rid of a book that was signed to you. Is that a common thing? Do people do that?
If it's personalized, I don't know why. I mean, you ask for it to be personalized. So I don't know why I would want to sell that unless I was really...
maybe his mother cleaned out the attic or something.
Yeah, there'd have to be some sort of desperation. But you won't get anything for a personalized signed book.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe he just didn't like it after all. Well, it's okay. It's ours now. So it's going to look good on our shelf. And I hope you enjoy it. Like, we should read it and do it as an episode for the show, for a book club. Because last time we went, we found Incognito, which was I really enjoyed the read and enjoyed the episode. And now we got another one to add to your Black History Civil Rights collection.
That's right.
So moving on. What did we do after that? We went down to Soho.
We went shoe shopping.
Yes. You found the perfect walking shoe.
Last time
we were there, and they didn't have your size.
They didn't have my size.
So we took another chance.
It was one of those, we walked the whole city and I was dying. Like dying. And then we...
The last time, not this time. The last time. Right.
And then this time Eric was like, we're going to get the shoe. Because they don't sell them in Canada. Mm-mm. They only have a shop in New York. They have one in San Francisco. And I think one in London.
Yeah.
And that's it. They had a pop-up store this past summer.
Yeah.
And like an idiot, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And I didn't get them. And then I've been kicking myself ever since. And so Eric was like, enough is enough.
We're at the shop.
You can be stupid once, and that's enough. And so we got the Allbirds.
The Allbirds.
Yeah. And I think it's like the official New York shoe. Like, after I got them, I saw everybody with them.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
Everybody.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
So they're made out of eucalyptus leaf that's turned into like a fabric that is extremely light. It's waterproof. It's machine washable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic looking sneaker that isn't overly designed. It's
organic.
Yeah.
It's animal friendly.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. And it's super light and super comfy. And they're not unreasonably priced.
No.
Either.
They're not.
For a sneaker. For a good quality sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually were able to get the rare bird sneaker there because it was like last of its kind. They had just size 7 women's left, so you scored.
I did.
They're pretty fly.
They're good. I like them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Did we make our way back up after that?
No, we went to the Amazon 4-star store.
That's right. I'd never been to one of those. I never seen one in Toronto.
I've never even heard. I didn't even know Amazon had stores.
Yeah.
I thought it was just online.
Right?
Like, that was its appeal.
That's the whole point of it. So across the street from the Allbirds, which is in Soho on Spring Street,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
They had the Amazon 4-star store. So everything in this store is 4-star rated and up.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find your electronics, your headphones, the most popular trending books, the most popular
kitchenware, pet stuff,
all kinds of
things.
Anything
you can think of.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're an Amazon Prime member, you'll get, the additional discount on it, which is always kind of cool. Me being an Amazon Prime whore, I guess you could say. I'm always on Amazon buying crap. So, yeah, it was a really cool store. We didn't end up getting anything there, but there was a couple things that I did put on my, wish list that I have to look up while I'm here.
Yeah, because after conversion and everything,
yeah.
You probably were going to save more just getting it online.
Right.
The next day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was cool to see,
Well, what I like about... See, the thing about Amazon, I know it's fantastical and everything, but online shopping in general, I like feeling stuff. I like to try things on. I like to, put on the shoe. I
mm-hmm.
like to hold the
yeah.
product. I want to see how actually... Like, when they give dimensions online, I'm like, I don't know what that is. What's 15 by 5 inches by 2 by 2? You know what? I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like to actually see the product in the flesh.
Yeah, right.
And that was kind of nice to be like... Because there is this one thing that I do want from Amazon, and they had it there. And I'm like, oh, so this is what it's actually like, and this is how big it is, and so it's portable. It's not just what they promote, but it's portable for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not
right.
what they're just marketing.
You got to actually see it.
Right.
Like, here's what I'm going to deal with.
Right, exactly. So it was kind of, I'm like, oh, I kind of like something like this back home, but
mm-hmm.
we can't have it all. But yeah, that was the fun part about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you actually got to see how things functioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That night we had some dinner reservations.
Yes,
am I skipping
we did.
Anything?
No. We went to a Joe's Pizza. We got your slice. Oh, you went to that little. That was a musty.
That was rough.
That was a musty comic book store.
So
we stumbled upon
that
before,
yeah.
Like maybe a couple years ago.
Yes, we did. We did. We so.
And I think it was just as charming, but as just as musty at the time. But yes. I think because you found it out of happenstance,
right?
And it was kind of like we were just perusing down whatever street we were at,
right?
You were like, I found a comic book store. I think that was.
It was. It's a used bookstore with like a section or like a little hole in the wall part of it that's a comic book little nook, I guess you could say, and it falls into the definition that you gave before where books are falling on top of you.
Yeah.
And you know you don't
like even the owner. I heard this chick like, oh, do you have volume one? He's like, I don't know. Maybe it's around here. And he starts like shuffling things and moving boxes, and I'm like, how do you run a business?
Yeah, like in the little nook that's the comic section, there was me and another person there, and I apologized to be like, I'm in your space, I'm sorry, because there really isn't any space to, like, it's crazy.
You can't even breathe in there.
Yeah,
no. I left. I went for a walk.
And last time I was there, I found a book, the Death and Return of Superman hardcover novel from in the 90s.
That's right.
And it was like almost in brand new mint condition. So I bought it because I have an attachment to that book as a kid. But other than that, like, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. Yeah. There's nothing.
And then we went to a record shop.
And then we found
which was literally an aisle.
It was rough.
It wasn't like
I walked in, I'm like, all right, we're gone.
That's it, like you walked in and you couldn't even turn around.
Yeah.
And it was record, like it had the typical record setup where you can sift through stuff, you dig but then there them. Was like, I don't know, man. It was like a New York apartment, but like
packed. And one row to walk in, one, like, it was just
one way in, one way out.
Yeah, it was a one way.
Yeah.
It was totally one way. And I'm sure you could have found something in there, but it would have just if you feel like everything's about to fall on top of you for real.
Yeah.
So we got
and
out
it
of
wasn't
there.
Like not full. Like there was people in there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's people digging who know what they're looking for in a shop. Like that's one of those
like
places.
Like you back to back with the next person.
Yeah.
Like that's how much room there is in this aisle.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. You can't go in with a backpack.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
We're not. Yeah. And that's where we stumbled upon Joe's Pizza.
And that's where Blue Note Jazz Club was.
That's right.
And across from that was Comedy Cellar.
That's right.
And I think it was that very night that Eric tried to get us tickets to jazz.
To the Blue Note Jazz.
Which
was sold out from weeks
from time.
Before. Yeah.
Which, you know, not surprisingly.
No.
And I think Sting was there that night.
Yeah, there's.
We discovered that because I follow Blue Note. Jazz Club on Instagram, and it turned out that Sting was there.
Yeah, there you go.
Performing, and they have a lot of like guest appearances.
Yeah.
And again, you wouldn't think that that's a hot spot, but it is.
It is. Yeah. And I think on the corner there is where we found Joe's Pizza, which is famous. They say the best slice of pizza in New York. They were the pizza shop that was featured in Spider-Man 2, where Peter Parker was delivering the pizza at the beginning, and then he got the sticker ripped off of his helmet. So they're another well-known eatery. Again, no frills. Looks like everything's falling apart in that place. And it could
Again, it's so small. Like, there's probably, like, there's a booth, like, up and around, like, the wall.
Yeah,
and,
for five
and
people.
And the window.
That's it.
And maybe, like, two high tables. And then it's just, like, people on top of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the charm of New York City. It's crowded.
That's it.
It's crowded.
Yeah. You don't go in there for fine dining. You go in for your slice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good slice. It was good. I wouldn't say it's the best I've ever had. But it was cool to go to a place where Spider-Man worked.
Well, it's what you needed at the time, right? To get to where we were going next.
Right. Right. So we made our way back up to Midtown, where our hotel was, and the Fashion District, and we got ready for dinner.
Because this was going to be like a dinner and a moving kind of night.
Kind of night, yeah.
So we ended up, again, walking distance from our hotel. Shout out to the location of the hotel. Eric did his research. This was at 1150 Broadway, because there's different Smith locations.
Right.
And it's important to note this, because if you do go to different locations, for example, Lombardi's. There's the Lombardi's in Little Italy. That was the original shop.
The original one. Yeah.
The original pizza joint. There they don't serve pasta.
Mm.
And they don't take plastic. But the Lombardi's by our place, by our hotel, which again was also walking distance, they serve pasta. And they take credit cards or debit cards or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So this Smith apparently had... There was a sandwich that we were willing to try, but this particular location did not serve it.
Right. Maybe not for dinner. I don't know if it was a time of day, but they didn't have it on the menu that night.
However, it was on the menu.
What was the
reason why we went?
Yeah, you saw this as we were planning our trip the very few days before like that we had booked it. And I said, okay, start coming up with things you want to do, places you want to go. Like, give me...
I just found places that I want to eat.
Yeah,
I wanted to eat, like, New York eats.
Yeah, that's it. So you... So she saw... Tell them what you saw.
So, mac and cheese in a skillet. That's all it is. It doesn't sound like anything special. It doesn't sound, like, worth the trip. But... Oh my God.
So our trip was defined by walking and finding cheese to go with our food.
That's right.
Because other than the cats, we had a bagel that was more of like cream cheese with a bagel on the side. Okay. And then we found this place, which was the mac and cheese in a skillet, which was an appetizer, but we split it.
And the things, I mean, people got to understand too, like the servings in the States is like... It's enough for a family.
It's enough for two, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm saying, like unless you want to go in hard, like you really can.
Yeah, yeah, you can.
It's a shareable.
Yeah.
If you're a decent human being, you'll want to share this.
So we got the mac and cheese as well as the Smith burger.
Yeah.
We split them in half and had, you know, shared our portions. What did you think of the mac and cheese?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Would you go back?
Absolutely. Just for, and I even told as we were walking out, there was people looking at the menu, and I just randomly walked up to these strangers. I'm like, you gotta go in there for the mac and cheese. Tell them Daphne sent you. Tell them Lady J says. It was delicious. Mm-hmm. It was like what mac and cheese should be.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. That's 100%.
True. You know, like.
And because it was in the skillet,
it
just stayed hot.
It was
like
hot.
The cheese was just cheesy.
Mm.
And the top of it was like a crispy on like the cheesy was crispy but not like hard and like burnt. It was just the perfect union of
cheese and macaroni.
Oh, it was so good.
It was very good.
Yeah. It didn't need nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how you have maybe something on the side or whatever. Like, it didn't need nothing. You just
<So good. laughs> That's hilarious. So even the burger that I had was very good as well. Can't complain. It's always nice when you go to a place and they care how you like your meat cooked. Because sometimes you go to a burger place and they bring you the burger and it's fine. But when they take the time to, you know, ask specifics of how you want things to be, that's always a nice change.
Nice touch.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's personalized.
To go with the mac and cheese. So the Smith's was a thumbs up?
Did you talk about the dessert? That one I regretted.
Oh, that's right. That's the one. So they have also... So this is one of those places where you go to where it's not just the food, but also the experimentation of things and how it's presented.
Mm.
So part of the dessert menu that they had, because we didn't overeat our, like, didn't have huge portions for dinner, we shared everything. We had a little bit of room for dessert, which that was the thing we didn't finish. It was s'mores in a jar. Now, I'm a sucker for graham cracker. I like the graham cracker on cheesecake. I like just graham cracker with, that's the my favorite part of the s'more, even though it's the melted marshmallow and everything. So I'm like, I'll try it.
It's the texture.
Yeah.
That little crumble.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'll try it. Comes with like a dark chocolate wafer.
Mm.
I think it was almost like that.
Mm.
So I'm like, I like dark chocolate. It offsets that over sweetness.
You think.
But this thing, it was good.
It was delicious, but it was rich.
After three bites, done.
It's like...
Done.
And the man had the audacity to ask me if I wanted another dessert. You know what I mean? Like, you ordered it, and then he's like, and you? And I'm like, what about me? Like,
yeah.
Thank God we only got the one.
Right. I wouldn't have been able to finish that by myself.
Not even two people could finish it.
No.
It was massive.
He got a huge marshmallow melted on top with the graham cracker sticking out of it and the dark chocolate piece stuck into that. But underneath, you've got that thick layer, 3-4 inches worth of chocolate, rich like, chocolate like pudding.
Pudding, mousse, something. Yeah, there was something in there. With more chocolate, with more marshmallow, with more graham cracker. Yeah. It was like the more I ate it, I just felt a cavity happening.
It's so good.
It was coating my stomach.
Right. Yeah. If it came in like a little graham cracker sandwich that you bit into and you just had one of, it would...
Would that have been enough, though? Like, we're complaining about how good it was and how rich it was. You know what it is? Someone would have just given you a graham cracker and a marshmallow with a piece of chocolate. Would you have been like, what is this? You know what I mean?
Probably. I think it's just that something can be good, but when it's...
It was too fantastical.
Overdone. Like, it's too sweet. Like,
we didn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, that was the thing,
too. That was just like, how do we get in here?
Yeah. Yeah. When the food is...
That's a shareable. That's for four
definitely
people.
Definitely a share. Yeah. Yeah. Four people. Get that with four, not two. If you have a sweet tooth, maybe you'll finish it, but I don't even think the sweetest tooth could do it.
Yeah. It was good.
It was good.
But that was kind of what put me over the edge.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted a bottle. I would have eaten, drank out of the East River. Like, something to quench my, like, I just needed it out. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah. Tasty, but a little too much.
Mm.
And then we went to Gotham Comedy Club.
That's right.
Which was one of the things that I was looking forward to, seeing how close we were in proximity from our hotel to this place again. Which was funny because leading up to this trip, we had just, by happenstance, started watching the Jim Gaffigan television show on Amazon Prime. And that's the place he's always performing at.
And he was always going to Cats.
And he was always going to Cats, which was coincidental. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, I saw this show. I have to go there now. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, I just got tickets to that place. And it's you know, reputable. Like, mm-hmm. this is where the stars come from and still go to.
Right.
So we had, you know, it was a $15 a head, 2-drink minimum per person. Any type of drink you want. You could get a $3 soda. You could get a coffee. It didn't matter. Or you could get an alcoholic beverage. They have food there as well. And it was a virtual reality taping. It started at 10 o'clock. So what that means is around the world, if you have, I guess, a membership to the Gotham Comedy Club online and you have virtual reality glasses with your PSN network, your PlayStation network, Kobe's sound effects coming in, you could watch the performance through virtual reality. And we were there for the taping of that. Mm-hmm. So the host was Yanis Pappas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember all of the other people's names. But I do remember the last performer's name, which was... No, I don't remember it.
You don't remember?
I don't remember it now.
Yes, you do.
Larry... Was it Larry?
Yes.
Larry Bea?
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bea.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a kind of like a Kevin Hart-esque type of comedian, a lot of energy.
Played with that. And he played with the idea that I know you guys were. I'm not Kevin Hart.
Yeah,
you're gonna deal with me tonight.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a great way to cap off the. You know, you had four comedians come through, and then he capped it off, and I had a blast. I was a little tired because it was a long day, and we had walked a ton,
mm-hmm.
so I was tired, especially after dinner and all of that kind of stuff. But it was, I love stand-up comedy and being able to go to, like, you know, one of the epicenters of stand-up comedy is New York City. Mm-hmm. So to be able to experience that there in, you know, those smaller type of environments. I mean, it was a very well-established place. By no means is it like a dungy type of
right,
spot.
Yeah.
But it's more intimate.
Curtains.
Yeah. It's more intimate.
It had
more...
velvet curtains. And,
yeah. Yeah. So... That was great. I really enjoyed that. We got to take a photo with Larry Bea
mm-hmm.
as well. And it was, again, very, very close to our hotel. I think it was on 25th and 8th again?
Something like that. So close.
Very close. So if you are planning a trip to New York, it is worth your while to stay in that vicinity of the Flatiron Building, mm-hmm. somewhere within there.
The Fashion District.
It'll make your travels enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry, unless you're into taking a cab, which is absolutely fine. But some places were quicker to walk to than trying to find
public transit. It's true. There was some, because we also take public transit wherever we go. But again, depending on the weather and the mood you're in, you end up seeing more and experiencing more by just walking. Right. But in some places, I mean, you would Google map it, and it would take us 20 minutes on the train. By walking, though, we'd be there in 19 minutes. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like, why would I pay $250 or $275 to get there in the same amount of time?
Yeah.
And I can have just as much fun as being outside.
Right. And so, the weather was pretty agreeable.
It was. It was. What else did we end up doing that night?
That night, we just went back home after. Right?
Yeah.
Because it was, I think, by that time.
And our hotel had crazy cable.
Yeah, well, the HBO is a life changer. There's always something good on. The first thing I said to Dav J was, they don't got Netflix here. And, you know, there's always a difference between U.S. Netflix than Canadian Netflix. There's a couple of things.
Because the last hotel, they had Netflix built into the TV.
Like, right.
It came with it.
Right, right.
You just had to put in your account. You were set.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was like, that was nice because I need some background music.
Right. Something to fall asleep to, right? But here we're like, uh-oh. Now what? Like, we just got to watch TV?
Fox News.
Yeah, right.
I'm not doing that. Right. So, but then there was Lifetime, HBO, there was all this stuff.
All the comedy networks.
All of it. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was, had you not shut off the TV, I don't think we would have left.
Yeah. And then a couple of them had, like, some really good marathon type of things happening where it was, like, you know, a bunch of Denzel movies.
Even the History Channel.
Yeah.
I learned all this stuff about Rockefeller. Although, when I went to Rockefeller, the building, they did that whole spiel, so I felt like I was already well informed. But it was kind of nice to, like, oh, and now I'm like, I want to go to Rockefeller because I want to see this.
Right.
It was it was a good hotel. Nice choose.
Nice choose.
Nice choose.
Not nice choice.
Choose.
Nice choose.
Yeah.
I like that phrase. So the next day was a free day, nothing planned, no dinner reservations, no tickets that we had to, you know, make sure we made it there in time for a show or a sporting event. So this day we were...
This was an artsy day.
This is an artsy
day. It was a very hipster day.
Yes.
Would you say? I hate to admit it, but I think that's what it was.
I guess so. I mean, you can't avoid it now because it's become part of, like, the culture of it. Certain places become part of that culture. So we wanted to find the next mural from Cobra at Cobra Art, right?
Cobra Street Art.
Cobra Street Art. And that was at, like you said, 11th Avenue and 1st Street. No, 11th Street and 1st Avenue. Got it right. And that's where you had the Michael Jackson
mural.
That had the split young Jack Michael with the older Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then a couple blocks from there was a Kevin Durant, one of his basketball parks for youth, right? And it was really, they had a bunch of murals there, street art. It was a nice little nook where you found all these little things in that area of really cool street art. But our major goal that day was to make it into Bushwick, Brooklyn. I wanted to go to the on a graffiti tour in Bushwick, where it's very well known for, like, that whole neighborhood is full of graffiti art, like really high end graffiti art. But we did a walking tour on our own, and it was really easy to get to. You get out of the station. I forget the name of the station. Did you write it down in your book?
I don't remember.
But I think it was on Jefferson Street. Was the main strip that you get out on. And you just keep walking around those blocks, and you are going to find, like, amazing street art. The Bushwick Collective is what's there. And I didn't catch all of the names, but if you go on Lady J's Instagram page, Hazel's Eye, you'll see a lot of the stuff that she took photos of. I found a really cool Biggie mural that you took a nice photo of me in. I really love that one. But, like, I like going to the museum and looking at historical art. But I also really love and enjoy street art. Mm-hmm. For you, what's the appeal of street art?
I think it's just self-expression. You know, I think someone is saying something. But that's not necessarily how they want you to interpret it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, take it as you see it, as you see it, you yourself. And how it moves you, right? Like, it's, I don't know. And I think it's something that I envy. I've always liked graffiti. I've always liked that kind of stuff. It's very New York to me.
Right.
I think now it's become kind of like a, like a thing.
Yeah.
Where it's almost oversaturated. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden I see it everywhere.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's kind of like, it's in a different light now, as opposed to before it was like very rebellious. You're in a gang. You're like, it's a bad thing. It's dirty. Right. It's criminal.
Right, you know right. What I mean? It's vandalism.
That's right. but it's under a different light now, I find.
And I think.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I guess for me, it's like we walk through this neighborhood and you're in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and it's, you know, you think of Brooklyn and Bedford-Stuyvesant and all that. Like for me, growing up, these were tough neighborhoods where all like the rappers that I listened to, all the MCs I listened to, that's where they came from. So it was not the place where as a tourist you go to and take photos of. Mm-hmm. But like as I'm walking in there, you're just seeing white folk walking
true.
Around
yeah.
with their fancy cameras. Taking photos of this stuff, and I'm like, man, this is what it's become. And I'm part of that too. Unavoidably, I can't make it seem like I'm different.
Yeah, but you're Italian, according to Larry Bea. Italian people aren't white.
That's the biggest lie.
You should find him on YouTube and with that bit. It's actually pretty funny. But it's true. Like it has like a different face to it now.
Right. Yeah. People are going there and you just see, sometimes you saw like a group of young girls just walking around and like doing their faux modeling thing, you know, like
that. And that's, I think that's what annoys me about this culture now. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they're like culture vultures, you know what I'm saying? Like when I remember going to New York with my family, like I remember seeing like tags, like I remember seeing what it was like seeing them on the train. You know, in the subways, like it was more than just, I mean, it was still saying something,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't like for, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I think for me,
it's like a fad. It's a fad now.
Right.
As opposed to people, I think there's always been people that have always appreciated something, but now it's become this popular thing.
Yeah.
That now it's acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I think that, so I don't have a problem with the act of what it is. It's the reaction or the acceptability of.
Yeah. Now it's okay.
Now it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. For me, I always, like, I love hip hop culture, and graffiti art is one of those, you know, the elements of hip hop culture. And like you said, there used to be, before it was the danger, it was the, where can
you... There was
you,
a stigma.
Yeah, and it, but it was like getting to this spot and putting your tag was more impressive than just tagging something. It's like, whoa, you got up there, you had to climb there, mm-hmm. you had to do that to mm-hmm. put your tag.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that thing of the danger, a little bit of that rebelliousness to do it and then be on the run from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what for me is cool about... graffiti art, street art, even though, you know, these things are now, it's heavily popularized and photographed and put on Instagram and all of those things. It's not something that can be transferred from collection to collection. It can't be owned necessarily, unless the person that owns the building, they've paid the artist, can you do this to my building? And they've given them money to do it and permission to do it. And now, does the building have more value because it's there or not? Like that part you can, but whereas paintings that are in museums or auctioned or things like that, like they can be sold hand to hand and other people can own it through time. Whereas something that's put on the wall, that's it.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
And once it's...
Well, and it's readily available for all class of people. I think that's what I...
That's the thing, too. It's mm-hmm. like you can go there and look at this for free mm-hmm. and enjoy what someone's put on this wall.
Right.
Whereas a lot of those... Like, if I want to go and see Monet, I got to pay $25 to get into this museum to go and see it, to look at it. Whereas with this, it's always there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And... unless somebody buys the building, breaks down that wall in some way and owns that whole wall to put into their room, which is not the most practical thing. People do it, but it's not very practical. If someone buys that building and they want to paint it over, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it, that's it. You'll just have that picture that you took of it. So I like being able to see that thing that's only here. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to go from, oh, now the collection's moving here and now this piece is featured there. It's not like that.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I love stumbling upon things that you didn't. And there's so many different takes, so many different artistic styles, different things that people are saying, bits of history, that stories that get told through there. And again, like you said, there's so much up for interpretation. Like, what does this mean? Why is it put on this wall? Is it the way, why did they use these paints? Is it because the way with the buildings in these positions, mm-hmm. does the light hit it like this? Mm-hmm. Like, I like, I don't know, thinking about those things, but mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
And while we were in that neighborhood, there was, in Bushwick, there was a couple of another comic book shop, the Vinyl Fantasy shop that I hunted down. Really cool record shop mixed with my other favorite thing, comic books. So the purpose of the place is kind of like pick a book, and then there's also an album that you can have to go with that listening experience. And this wasn't as much of a Big Two type of shop. It's not a Marvel DC heavy store.
Very independent, no?
It's more creator owned. Like, you got your Image comics, all good. Everything on those shelves is very well curated. Everything you pick up off of those shelves are going to be a very good, well worth it read. And the collection of music that they got there is also very well curated, and overall it's a cool shop to visit if you are ever in that area, if you're interested in the Brooklyn Bushwick collective. So moving on, where did we head? We headed back into Manhattan after that.
We ended up going back to, we had to eat.
Yes, we did. What did we eat? We didn't eat in Bushwick, though.
No, we went to Lombardi's.
We went to Lombardi's. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. So for those who may not know, Lombardi's is, quote-unquote, the first pizzeria in New York City. And there's, you know, speculation if that's actually the case or not. But regardless, it's the best pizza that I've had in New York City. Is that true for you as well? I mean, Grimaldi's was up there, because that's considered, you know, very, very good pizza. We had that a bunch of times visiting NYC, but Lombardi's is...
Yeah, it's up there.
It's up there. Mm-hmm. It's up there. It was a 40-minute wait. Very well worth it. Daphne got her all-white pizza, which means it's just dough with cheese and cheese and
cheese. It's mozzarella cheese and ricotta cheese.
Yes.
With, like, herbs, like oregano and stuff. There's no red sauce.
No.
Nothing like that.
So good.
It's delish. It's so simple.
Right.
It's like you don't need nothing except like some garlic powder and chili peppers. And
some oil. Dip the crusts in.
So good.
Very good.
So good.
Always got to visit there.
Yeah.
I think that getting pizza from there for me is the one thing that I'll always do.
And no one in Toronto, unless someone, please, if you know, you can correct me, reach out, tell me. I've tried going to, like, places here, and, like, I want a white pizza, and they're like, what is that? And I'm like, no sauce. They're like, well, what do we put on it? Like, I don't want sauce on it. I just want this. Like, I have to tell them how to make it, and they're confused.
Yeah.
They don't get it. Now, and this was a couple years back, now they got, like, pesto sauce and stuff like that, but it's not the same. They can't wrap their mind around a pizza that has no sauce on it. So it's like, that's why I want to go to New York, like, they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That it's not...
It's on the menu.
It's on the menu. Yeah. It's not like I gotta explain it to them. They just know.
Right, right.
I love that thing. So good.
Yeah, you don't talk too much when you're eating that pizza.
No.
Yeah. And from there, from Lombardi's, we then went further downtown. So Lombardi's obviously is in Little Italy on Spring Street. From there, we walked downtown towards... the World Trade Center.
That's right.
The monument. They got a museum there now. They got that beautiful fountain that they have in the middle of it where the towers used to be. Some more street art in that area as well, celebrating, you know, the
monument.
We didn't go into the museum because it is, I'm not going to say it's expensive, but it's not cheap. It's not like it's more than some of the, it's more expensive than the museums that have always been in New York City. Hmm. Like, it's more expensive than the Met, it's more expensive than the Guggenheim, the MoMA. So we didn't go there, and it was also later in the evening. But to kind of stand there with this place all finished up, and it's this new spot of New York culture in just life, because it's a shopping mall there too. They got the Westfield Shopping Mall, that it's pretty impressive, the entranceway and the outside of it. But it was somber to stand there for the few minutes that we did.
Yeah.
And to think about.
I choked up a bit.
Yeah, just
you know. Because I've kind of always avoided it. But I remember going mm-hmm. after the fact and kind of seeing, like, what happened. And just walking by.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
And it was always under construction.
It was all, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I had never gone back after its finished product. And mm-hmm. I don't know why. I always had a hard time having to go. And then we were walking, and we thought we would check it out, and it wasn't easy.
Yeah, no. You leave. You definitely stand in that spot, especially by the fountain, with all the names of the people who were lost that day, and you think about. I mean, 17 years ago, but you think about. We were alive. We were in school. Mm-hmm. I remember the TVs being rolled into the classroom, watching that.
I remember trying to call my aunt and getting good through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember the stories that my family told me. It was crazy.
Yeah. It's a pretty terrifying thing even to just try to recollect what it must have been like for people who lived and were working and were working in those buildings.
Yeah.
Terribly frightening. But quite a monument they put there.
Right.
Yeah. It's one of those mixed feelings where you're like, really? You're making people pay to see that train that was crushed? Mm. Like, we're paying to see?
Yeah, it didn't bode well with me.
Yeah, you don't know if that's interesting because it's a part of, like, one of the biggest moments in history. Mm-hmm. But then you're also like, I don't know if I want to see that. But at the same time, I'll go to the museum and watch, like, Egyptian ruins or, like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a funny place to be in.
Yeah, so.
Emotionally.
Would you ever go visit that museum next time we go back?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd want to see more of it online.
Like, I don't want to sound insensitive, mm-hmm. but, like, when, you know, when we went to Pompeii, like,
yeah.
that was, like, a natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Freak. Craziness that happened, right? And so you go there and you probably people think, well, that's kind of the same thing. This was like an act of hatred,
right?
Complete hate. Like, it there's
and
no
and it was monetized,
and it, that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's like, had this not happened, you wouldn't be making money out of it. And then I'm also wondering to myself, like, who gets the funds of this? Mm. Like, was it put towards making One World Trade Center, the Freedom Tower? Was it put towards the mall? Like, the maybe the upkeepings of the memorial? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where the finances are going to? Like, a lot of question marks, right?
Yeah.
But not. I don't think it's necessarily something I want to know yet.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. It has been a while. But this was my first time having gone there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, it took me back a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a somber place to just stand and think about.
Yeah, definitely.
Gives you pause.
Yeah. And it, you know what? For everything that it was, it was also pretty.
Yes, it's
pretty
true.
Beautiful.
It was
like,
true.
It was just. It does make you want to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally a landmark place to stop. So from that point, if you stay on Fulton Street and you walk towards the water, you'll get to Pier 17. Mm-hmm. And along the way there was a downtown Midtown Comics that we stopped in.
Of course. Of course we did.
tell them the routine when we go in New York. You said it to me. It was really funny.
I don't remember.
You don't remember
what
now?
What did I say?
You're like, yeah, we walked and we found the comic shop. And then we went to a comic shop. And then we went to another comic shop. So sue me. We're in the Mecca of comics. I had to go to the Midtown Comics downtown. I had never been there before. It was a really nice shop. Uh-huh. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. You know what happened?
Oh.
When we were leaving.
Oh, my goodness.
we saw these two cats coming in with their little poodle dog. And I was like, where are they going? Because they're not coming upstairs.
No.
Same entrance into the comic shop is a residential building. Like
apartments.
It's basically like, it's like, man, coming out of your residence and then you just pop next door or downstairs into your basement.
And
there's your comic book shop. And Eric goes, you plot stone. You're like, I can never do this. Like, this would be, I would never leave this spot.
Yeah. Like, no, it was bad. Like,
look forward to an argument with me so you could just jet and go to the comic book shop. Like,
as soon as I saw that people were turning their key, checking their mail, and then going to their apartment, I looked at you as we're exiting. I'm like, oh no, that would be a major problem for me. This spot would be, this would be really bad if I knew that you could live here. Like, I couldn't do it.
And right next door, there was a McDonald's. Oh my God. You'll never see me for dinner. I'd always be next
door. So our journey was to get to Pier 17, where they have, like, it's kind of like comparable to the harbor front for us, mm-hmm, here, mm-hmm, the many harbors that they have there. And
we've been to the pier before a couple years ago.
We have. Now they have like this area where they've made like a skating rink and, you know, a little spot to go and get drinks and places to eat up there. So we said, let's go check it out. Yeah. It was a nice little hot spot to see. The pictures online of this place look so lovely. And it looked like the greatest place to go skating because the view is the Brooklyn Bridge. And then behind you got the full, like, Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you got, like, Dumbo and the Williamsburg Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge. And it's, like, so picturesque. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, the skating rink wasn't that great. It was really small.
It was the size of a bean.
It
really was. You could prepay and get tickets. Yeah. It mm-hmm. was $25 per person all day skating. I'll give them that.
Yeah, but you're not
but you're kind of like
in 10 minutes you've done the rink you've done the rink about 100 times.
So it was a great place to see.
Yeah, it was nice to for photos. It was nice to chill out and all of that. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy we saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy we rested there.
I'd go back.
Yeah, for sure.
I would not.
I wouldn't skate.
No.
You know, that's the one thing I got to say I like about Toronto better. I haven't been in a little bit, but I've never had to pay to go skating at the harborfront. And it's a nice surface to go skating there. It's a big surface.
But you
surface.
Also have your own skates here.
I have my own skates here, but other than that, you don't pay for entrance, because if you don't have your own skates, if you go to Central Park, if you go to Rockefeller Center, if you go to the Pier 17 or Bryant Park, you're still paying to get on the ice for a limited amount of time. Granted, Pier 17 is a lot, you know, you get a lot more time, but you go to Central Park, and I think it's still only a half hour of time that you get there. And
it's Rockefeller like Center, it's
30
time.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, especially when you convert it into Canadian. It's like, that's over $40-something mm-hmm. to skate for a half hour. I can do, like,
you can go outside.
you go home. And,
on black ice.
Yeah, you go home and you've got, like, Mel Asman Square. You got Nathan Phillips. You got a bunch of places where you can go skating and don't got to pay nobody, which is, I like that better, personally. I'd like
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but do you got the view? That's the thing, right? Like, yeah, you're paying a premium, but
I think they're cashing in on the tourist aspect.
But the thing
of it.
Is, what's nice about it too is in the summer they make it like it's like a deck, right? And they do like outside movie, like kind of
cool.
like what
That's
they
cool.
do like at Dundas Square, right?
Right.
Movie theater thing. They have like patio parties and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm sure Toronto has those
we do.
Types of stuff.
We do
I'm
got a lot of
stuff.
I'm just
too tired after a day of work to
I think,
go explore my
I
own
think
city.
That's what I want to do with you next summer is try to treat Toronto the way a tourist would and kind of see what's happening in the city with, like, movies in the park and things happening at the beaches or a con... Like, you know
yeah,
what
I
mean?
Yeah, I think that's everybody. Like, anyone who lives in the city, like, that's the same... Everybody goes through that. Like, I remember when one of your first visits to New York and you're like, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to see this, I want to go that. And my family was like, why?
Yeah.
And you're like, cause it's this, it's that. And this person ate here and that person talked about this street and I want to see that sign. And I want to, and they're like, it's a stick in the sky. It's no big deal. And that's, it kind of becomes mundane, right? And we're kind of I think I've kind of become that way about my own city,
mm-hmm.
right? Where I'm just like, look, man, I'm on the train all the time,
mm-hmm.
sometimes longer than I need to be.
Right.
I just want to get from A to B and done. You know what I mean? I think that's everyone's, that's every city person's shackle. What is this?
You get, the shackles, the handcuffs, like you just get into that perspective. It's true. But I do like, when I travel places, I like thinking about the good things about my own city. Because I think sometimes people go other places and they end up being like, this is better than home. Why don't we have? But I like coming back and thinking like, I like the stuff I got too. Like we got skating. We got good food. We got good a theater
but
district.
But I think too, it's also convenience of getting to stuff. Like, and maybe I say this because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But I find like New York transit to be more accessible than our own, right? Because they got trains going in every which direction. Like their train system is like taking the bus, really. So you can go anywhere and everywhere at any given moment. Here it's kind of like you end up going north or south, east, west, done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can take, trains and streetcars and this and that. But like, it's if you want to go somewhere, you got to get in your car.
Yeah.
And then you got to parking.
It seems more inconvenient than just walking. Yeah.
Like it's not, things aren't exactly walking distance unless you live in downtown Toronto.
And I think that's the same because when we go to
and I associate going downtown as like I'm going to work.
Right. There's that association of like I hate this
train. Or there's an event, so there's going to be a ton of people doing the exact same thing that I wanted to do.
True.
So it's something all the time.
It's in our head too.
It definitely is in my head.
And the other thing is like
when else do you go to the Metro Convention Center?
I don't. I go for Comic-Cons.
Exactly.
Right.
So when you go, you're going to get on the train with all these people in their costumes, taking up space because, they decided to wear their SpongeBob square suit on the train.
So I've never seen that on the train, but I know this year I will.
And they're taking up three seats on the train.
Yeah.
And, they got to come out sideways and trying to go up the escalator. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big, it's just lots of things happening. And it's discouraging to me.
Yeah, I think when you put it that way, I feel like where we live in relation to, like, if we're comparing our city to New York City, for instance, downtown Toronto, so like from Eglinton down, let's say, where everything becomes somewhat walking distance,
mm-hmm.
That would be like Manhattan. But where we're located is like Brooklyn. So it's New York, but it's like that extra, it's like, oh.
It's that extra effort
to
get there.
Yeah. And
see, but that's the other thing. Even though my tia lived in Brooklyn, in Bay Ridge, okay, you can either take the local R train, and it'll take you whatever, or you could take the N train, which was an express train, and you can make it into the city
in 40 minutes.
Right?
Right.
So, like, you don't have that option here. When you're stuck, you're stuck. You're not going nowhere.
That's the problem. I think that's the problem, is that there isn't that many options. But, you know what? To hear people tell it in New York, they complain about the same things we complain about here. I think there's just the romance of being somewhere different. But,
true.
Needless to say, this summer we got to try to do, like, a weekend as though we were visiting.
Can someone write in and maybe tell us where we should go? What we should try?
I got a lot of comic shops I could see.
Enough with the comic shop already. God.
All right. Should we... is there anything left from our trip to discuss? I think we did just about everything.
We did. We did do a lot. We even went to the museum.
We did.
We went to the Met. Beautiful building.
Mm.
I wanted to go inside the library. I never got a chance to do that. I have a New York library card, by the way. But never went in. There was a couple of things that it was just nice. It was just nice to be out and about. I don't think I've done something like that since Italy.
Yeah, that's right.
I love my house. Yeah. I love being home. I'm such a, what is it? Especially around this time of season, I hibernate like a bear.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good time to do that.
It is. It's the time to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, thank you for accompanying me on our last minute journey to NYC to cap off the year. We're going to try to do one more year-end episode where we kind of review some of our favorite things of the year. Our whether it be events that happened, television shows, mostly television movie stuff that we took in this year, because I like doing those little countdown lists. And I want to get your take because you are a Netflix junkie. So you'll have, I think, a good assortment of things to choose from. Mm-hmm. Sound cool?
I'm down.
We'll try. All right. We got to think of them. And we'll put it up to bring in the new year. So everyone going back to work, riding the train, they'll have a few episodes from Lady J to be able to listen to. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Follow Lady J's Hazel_I on Instagram as well for all of her travels and places that she's been to. And thank you again for listening. We will be back soon. You gonna say goodbye to the people?
Ciao.